بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصلاة معراج المؤمنين، الصدقة برهان، الصيام جنة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected ulama ikram, brothers in Islam, Allah Rabbul Izzat has blessed us with many faculties, the ability to see, the ability to hear, the ability to speak, the ability to move. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this unique. Our fingerprints are different. Supply of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlimited. Our voices are different. Our speech is different. Our style of speaking is different. Even to the extent that our walking is different. If you look from the back and you notice a person walking, you will see that there are differences. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treasures, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stock is unlimited. Why, He is the provider, He is the nourisher, He is the sustainer, He is our Rabb. This belief that He is providing, He is nourishing, He is the one controlling must come into our heart. And nothing happens without His will. The leaf from the tree falls down by His will, by His permission. And the end underneath the rock, in the darkness, is fed and sustained by Allah Rabbul Izzat, is our belief. Good conditions or bad conditions prevalent in our home, in our environment, in our country, internationally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who brings this. And the greatest boon, the greatest favor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us is the daughter of Iman. The more we realize the significance and importance of Iman, the better Muslims we can become. Sahaba realized this, and Sahaba's Iman was that besides Islam, nothing else can bring us into salvation or success. Deen of Islam is perfect, Deen of Islam is divine, Deen of Islam is complete, Deen of Islam is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Deen of Islam is the only way for success. The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies our conditions, whether it's going to be good or bad. During the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Jerusalem was besieged by the Muslims. And as the war pattern of those days was that the enemy was given 3 days to think about. 3 days and 3 options. First, accept Islam. No war, no jizya, no tax, except Islam. Islam was presented. Otherwise, pay us jizya, pay the Muslims jizya, protection tax. After paying the protection tax to the Muslims, the enemy can live in peace, their dignity, their honor, their blood, their property is safe under the guardianship and custodianship of the Muslims. Thirdly, if you do not want to accept Islam, you don't want to pay jizya, get ready for war. 3 days to decide 3 days.
That is why the Tamil Jada brothers also say, come out for 3 days, 3 days, 3 days. Why? When a person is alone for 3 days, then he's got time to contemplate, meditate, and think, and ponder what I am created for, where am I going, what am I doing. 3 days away from house, wife, factory, business, firm, money gives you a chance to think. In the circle, in the vicious circle of monetary affairs, person sometimes has got no opportunity to think. The priest of Jerusalem said, no, a particular leader has been written in our books. If you bring this leader, we will hand over Jerusalem. No fun. And they gave a brief description of it. And Hazrat Ubaydullah ibn Jarrah, radiallahu ta'ala, he was the commander in chief. He realized they are talking about our Khalifa, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala, his facial external appearance was that of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So he presented Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala and said, this man? Those priests looked at the books and said, yes, this is the one. Exactly. What is this? No, Muslim does not lie, Muslim does not deceive, Muslim does not exploit, Muslim is no deceiver. So now it's very hard. You know, the description is there, but his name is wrong. Oh, what is it? There is something called Umar, Amr, that like. So now they got Amr ibn As in our camp. So they presented Amr ibn As after a while. The person said, now they forgot about the external description written in the books. They said, what is it? They said, Amr. So yeah, the name is right. Name is sounding right, according to the books. Amr, Umar, spelled more or less same, written more or less same, appeared same in the script. Yeah, this one. So, but after a little while, they checked the books again, so the external description is different. So you bring a person with this name, and you bring a person having that description, that is the name. We'll hand over Jerusalem. When I wrote to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, you better come here, these people are looking for you. Otherwise, you'll have to engage in war and bloodshed, and then the quarrel and fighting. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu leaves, and he leaves with the servant, proceeding towards Jerusalem, on his mule. And system very simple, that sometimes he rides, and the servant pulls the reins. And after a while, and after a prescribed time, then the servant on the mule and the master and the Khalifa of the Mu'mineen and the Umar of the Allah, he pulls the reins. Everyone is human. We must give people their rights. Give people their rights back, Muslim or non-Muslim. Treat people like human beings, irrespective of their color. Treat them like human beings, Islam is saying. Don't exploit people. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu proceeds, he comes right near Jerusalem. Hazrat Ubaydullah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes out with a group of people and they meet Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Give a reception before he comes into Jerusalem. Great people come, you can have some reception for them. So Hazrat Ubaydullah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, young man, the people in Jerusalem, they will see you riding this mule. They would not like it. They think this is a low thing. Ride a horse and see your clothing in perfection. Change it. Put some good clothing on. People will say that Amir al-Mu'mineen, he's got patches on his clothing. So, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu seated. Because this is what a great Sahabi speaking. He got into a horse, put on some good clothing, and then he proceeded for a little while. After a little while, got off the horse, took off the clothing, he told Ubaydullah ibn Jarrah, keep your clothing, bring those touch clothing back. And take the horse, give the mule back. So when I was sitting on the horse with the clothing on, there had some change of heart. Some change of heart took place. No sooner you give a person power, no sooner you give him money, no sooner you give him position, no sooner you give him something which affects his heart and his brain, and his blood begins to boil and his head swells up, the entire thing fails. Power corrupts absolute, power corrupts absolutely. That is why there is a clear difference between Islamic Khilafat and dictatorship. Difference days. Some other time I will explain to you if I do it in your opinion. That there is a difference between Khilafat and dictatorship. And remember one thing, one bottom line. In Islam there is no personality projection. In Islam we project Islam. We do not project the personality. We do not project ourselves. And anywhere where we project personality, then no sooner the person leaves, then the people also become like soda waters fading out. Sahaba projected Islam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala proceeded. And when he proceeded, then there was a ditch. There was water there, there was mud. And before he proceeded, he made one of the best speeches in Islam. In front of the Sahaba Mawjood there, he said that it was Islam who elevated us. It was Islam that elevated us. Islam gave us dignity. Islam gave us honor. Islam gave us izzah. Islam gave us the land. When we were downtrodden, Islam gave us dignity. When we had nothing with us, Islam gave us everything. When no one was respecting us, Islam lifted us and gave us respect. When the whole world was speaking at us, Islam gave us dignity and honor. When we shunned the civilization of the Kuffar, when we leave the culture of the Kuffar of the West, when we shun shirk, when we leave Kufr, when we go away from Bidah, when we run away from the Western ideology, when we shun the culture of the West, then we will be elevated also. Today you and I, every walk of our life, our business, our home, our factory and our firm, our ideas and our mentality, our style of thinking and our attitude, everything is designed by the West. We think like them. We behave like them. And still we want the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend upon immediately. Allah's rahmat, Allah's mercy will descend when we conform to the Shariat of Islam. But every big and small, we are looking towards the West, we're looking towards Paris, we're looking towards London, we're looking towards the Kufar. Our education in this country is for us, like the government. And we look towards this education to reform us. Anything can change us is Islamic education, Islamic attitude. Coming to our homes and going to the homes of the Kuffar, what is the difference? What is the story of the difference? As Umar is saying here, before entering Jerusalem, that this is Islam elevates. Islam gives dignity. And we are placing our money, our wealth, our brain, our energy, our efforts, our sacrifices behind the West, behind the Kufar. And we expect success. And never. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who proceeded, he had to pass a ditch of water, which was muddy also. So he passed that place. And when he was about to enter Jerusalem, it was a time for the servant to be on the mule, and he was pulling. And to ride the mule, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that it creates humility, it removes pride. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, also rode a mule. And when he rode a mule, he said that, I love to ride this animal to show the difference between the other kings and Islam, and the rule of Islam. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who can imagine the picture, those priests who have got their books open on the walls of Jerusalem are observing the Khalifa al-Muslimin approaching. And what are they viewing? They're viewing this man. On one hand, with one hand, he's holding the reins of the mule. His servant seated on the mule. The master pulling the mule. The servant on the mule. With one hand, because he had to pass the ditch and which the water, etc., had touched the clothing, with one hand he is lifting his lugida. With one hand, he's holding the reins. and he's moving towards Jerusalem. This is conquer. This is conquer in reality. No bloodshed. The priest immediately said that leave this land. Do not fight with him. These people are on the right. Hand over the city. Here, this is the person whose name and whose description and how he's going to take over Jerusalem has been recorded in our books. Do not fight with this man. Islam does not spread by force. Islam does not spread by financial support. Islam does not spread by ill-mannered behavior. Islam does not spread by attacking viciously, sarcastically, insultingly the other deeds, the other religions. Islam does not spread by rubbing salt into the wounds of the other religions. Islam does not spread by fearing, by insulting other religions. Islam does not spread by debasing the other religions. Islam spreads by akhlaq, by character, by personality, by outward appearance, by our good transactions, by our dealings. Islam spreads by that. As Umar radiallahu ta'ala on the procedure inside, the city was handed over to him. Now it was handed over to him, then the Jewish people decided to use another ploy, another plot against the Muslims. Why the Muslims had to go from place one to place two to go and make their salah? So they had to traverse, they had to go from one place to another. They had to move to go make their salah and block. So the Jews, what they did, they had their meetings, how to mislead these Muslims, how to waylay them. These are dangerous people. They have just taken over our city without bloodshed. And that plot of the Jewish lobby, which they worked out then, they are still using against us. But the difference is clear. Sahaba did not fail. Sahaba did not falter. Sahaba did not falter. Sahaba were the students of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sahaba were spiritually elevated. Sahaba are jannatis. But today, the very same tactic which has been unleashed upon the Muslims today, us today, we are falling hook, line and sinker. What was that plot? They instructed that beautiful woman to stand on the roadside where the Sahaba are passing. And those women were practically naked, displaying their fineries, and parading there while the Muslims were passing there to go for Salah. Second thing, they brought together near the woman the gold and the silver and the wealth. So they had the gold and the silver and the wealth near there, and the woman standing naked practically in front of the Sahaba who are passing. Sahaba generally immediately came to realize this is the plan and this is the plot to mislead us. So the easiest thing to do, it was instruction that look down, keep your eyes down, put your gaze down and go for Salah. Leave those attractions. Very same thing. Woman and wealth. Let the discussion of that thing come. Woman and wealth. How they are using this, how the Jewish lobby up to date is using these two things against us. Sahaba did not forget. Today you see that you advertise one matchstick, one box of matches, with maybe 2 cents, they put one naked woman standing there. I don't know whether the fellow will try to buy the matches or looking somewhere else. Allah Ta'ala knows that. Every move you make, every magazine you look, every newspaper you look, they have got these things. Money, woman, and Muslim is running between them. Money, woman. Why? Because we are not following what the Sahaba has left for us, what the Quran instruction has left for us, what Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has left for us. That is why Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated and made dua, that Allah Ta'ala, that make me a poor person and make me rise amongst people. Now remember, I am not saying close your factories or close your business or close your shops. What I clearly say, that do not let this wealth enter the heart. Do not let this wealth enter the brain. Do not let this wealth become the end all and be all of life. Do not let woman become end all and be all of life. Leave the warm bed where the woman is and come for Fajr Salah. Fajr is 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, half the world is up, but Muslim is still sleeping. Simple thing how they have used us. If a person makes monetary gain, wealth, his aim in life, then he does not worry about how his transactions are, how his dealings are, halal or haram, jaiz or najaiz, front door or back door, permissible or not permissible, this way or that way, hook or crook, legal or illegal, selling this and selling that, selling everything while he wants to make money. Exploiting, overcharging, underpaying, all those things he will do. Why? He's got one thing in his head, I will make money irrespective of how I do. And 24 hours of the day, when he sleeps, he will think of money. When he leaves, he will think of money. And when he rises, how I'm going to make money. And a Muslim's pattern of life, Muslim's conduct of life is not just, definitely. We have to make money, but make money so that we can live, we can survive, we can run our institute, we can become a prosperous nation, but not the end and be all of life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to understand the wa'afna ta'ala, alhamdulillah.